There's some things I've been kind of going back and lingering on and speaking to of recent weeks. And I think maybe it seems like I'm repeating myself, but I look around what's going on in the world today and the circumstances that are unfolding, and I think God's kind of repeating himself. You know, God's trying to teach us something. God's trying to get our attention. And not that God ever really tries anything, but he's working in our lives that way. And so my thoughts keep returning to sometimes the same sort of thoughts, and I'm going to share them again today and some little different aspects. But I'm calling today's message, and I may not finish this one this week, and I may tie it in to the finishing of Galatians, because some of it has to do with what we're going to be talking about there. But I'll call it today, keep your accounts short, trust God, and rely on His Word. Keep your accounts short. Again, you look at those folks out in North Carolina, that one picture that just lingers in my mind, and I don't know if you saw it, but a grandma and a grandpa with a six-year-old granddaughter on a roof. The water's up to the roof. And the mother of the little girl takes their picture. Moments later, that roof is swept away and they lose their lives. You know, and that's just a haunting picture to me. I don't know if they knew the Lord or not. I pray they did. Still, it's tragic in human terms. You don't know today, tomorrow, who or what's going to be swept away. We want to keep our accounts short. We want to make sure we're right with God and we're right with one another. And I don't know about you, but I struggle to do both of those sometimes. But that's what we ought to seek to do. Keep our accounts short. In Ephesians, Paul wrote to the saints in Ephesus, in Ephesus 4:26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. If you got something between you and a brother or a sister or you and a family member, you know, seek to settle that. Because you don't know if you'll ever have an opportunity to do it if you don't. Be angry and sin not. And that verse teaches us some things. You know, it is appropriate from time to time to be angry. But we ought to be angry and not sin. If we harbor that sin and use it as a grudge and a club, you know, then it becomes a sin. But be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Keep your accounts short. You know, keep up to date. The Lord, during His ministry, told us in John 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of Him that sent me. He was God. He was incarnate. He was the Son of God. He came in the flesh to do something. But He proves as our example. Much more than that, of course, but He is our example. And He tells us, I must work the works of Him that sent me. So must we all. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, said the Lord. Because He was God, and yet He came into time. And as the Lord was in time, He submitted to time. And what He had to accomplish, He had to accomplish it in that time. He says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. It's going to be done. You know, you can't say, boy, I'll go back and do it. There won't be any going back to do it. Of course, Christ, the perfect God, accomplished it all. He said, it is finished. But we should all desire to hear, like Paul spoke of, from the mouth of God, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So keep your accounts short with one another, with the brethren. Don't think you're going to have another opportunity to make things right or to fix things, because you may not. It could be that quick. Number two, and I'm going to elaborate on these and speak of some experiences I've had of recent days, and we all have those kind of experiences. Opportunities to talk to people. Folks who are showing a more interest in things, they may not understand everything, but they're showing more interest. I can't make them understand. Do you realize that? I can't bore them again. God can, but He uses us when we have opportunities to speak truth to them. So keep your account short to trust God. Trust God. People fret and stew and wring their hands. As a friend of mine, I've never met him personally, but we've corresponded for some time now. He's a former Marine down in South Florida. Like a lot of people, he's had trials and tribulations in his life. And when I keep emphasizing, trust God, trust God, trust God, he's like I'm making an excuse, or like I'm thinking I don't have to do anything, or that it's just the opposite. But he doesn't understand that. But the fact that he's inquiring, that he's speaking to me, may be an indication that God's at work. And that God may be pleased to use me. And so that's how we do. We deal with folks where we are, where they are, speak truth to them. We can't convert them. We can't change their minds. We can't enlighten them. But as we have opportunity, we speak truth. I don't think trying to high-pressure folks and twist arms accomplishes anything. But I do think we need to tell folks and proclaim that we trust God. Regardless of what comes, I trust God. Regardless of what may come, as bad as it may be, I'll trust God. You know, I think about many years ago, we went through Hurricane Andrew, one of the worst to ever hit Florida, and mass destruction. And then you think, well, there couldn't be anything worse than that. Yeah, well, there could. I could have been out in western North Carolina. I think that would have been worse. And then I look at those folks and think, well, there couldn't be anything worse than that. You know, you could be in the middle of a war zone somewhere. Like in the Ukraine, or in areas in Russia, or in areas in Israel. You know, people could be piling down missiles on us. Yeah, it could be worse. But God's still in control. As bad as it is, I trust God. And even if it got worse, no matter how bad it got, I would still trust God. Not because of my strength, not because of my power. And my friend, and I'll share a little bit of our conversation later. But my friend was like, well, you know, he lost his faith in Vietnam. And it's like, and then he told me about basically how he got his faith, because he was baptized into the Roman Catholic Church. Well, I tried to explain to him, I'm not talking about, that's not faith that I'm talking about. I'm talking about God-given faith, you know, not human faith, not the faith that you say, well, I lost my faith because what, he lost his faith in this religion and a little water sprinkled on his head, lost his faith in a pope, and that's not. If I have the faith of Christ, I can't lose that. Oh yeah, I have doubts, I have fears, I still get in the flesh. So trust God. And I'm more and more in this day, I look about what's going on, what's transpiring. Trust God. Again, passages we're familiar with, but Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. You know, don't try to figure it out. As Stonewall said, duty is ours and consequences are God's. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. You know, we get worried about stuff. I admit that I sometimes do. I don't just sit around and do that, but I'm laying there in bed sometimes and I got something that's going to happen and I can be worried about those trees in my backyard or worried about my vehicle. And I shouldn't be, and I know I don't have to be, but they just, thoughts come to your brain. But trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Say, well, I got to figure out how to do this. No, God. God's got to figure it out. That doesn't mean you don't do anything. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge His Word. Do what He says. Like Stonewall said, duty is ours. Consequences are God's. Because sometimes if you start thinking, trying to figure things out, you may decide, well, maybe I could do it this way or that way, and it may be, maybe I can skirt around, you know, what God says to do, because maybe that'll work better. No, it won't! Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. God directs our paths. We can rely on that. We can trust in that. It doesn't mean that we don't do anything. It means that we do all that He's told us to do. And we do it with vigor. But we trust Him for the results. The psalmist said it this way, which just emphasizes what I've been talking about. In Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. And good there speaks of doing the right thing, doing the good thing, doing what God has commanded. Trust in God and do what He says. Because some folks get the idea when you talk about trusting God, they think, well, you think you trust God, so you're not going to do anything. No! I trust God. And I do good. I trust God and do what He's told me to do. Because I trust Him to honor what He's told me to do. And I trust Him to be in control of all things. And to know why He's told me to do what He's told me to do. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. God will meet your needs. God knows your needs before you do. God will provide all we need. So trust God. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching at me too. Just got to remind yourself of these things every day. Keep your accounts short. Trust God. And I more and more have an opportunity to say that to folks. And some folks, like my friend down there in South Florida, he reacts to it. And it kind of gets him on edge because he's worried. He tells me he's worried. He's fretful about what's going to happen, you know, with the election and with this and that. And I said, God's in control. And if you start thinking in your own mind, and I don't want to get too far afield here, you can say, well, and that's what they try. All these people telling me yesterday, right? Well, you got to vote because he's the lesser of two evils. I got to do evil? I got to vote for evil? No, I don't. I don't have to. I trust God. Trust in the Lord and do right. Trust in the Lord and do good. Not trust in the Lord and vote for the lesser of two evils. I don't see that in the Scripture anywhere. I'm sorry. But I can fret, I can lean to my own understanding and say, well, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to compromise here, I got to get along. No, you don't. Trust in the Lord and do good. so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Well, I thought this was just going to be real short, and I just had a few things to talk about, and I've got like a 3/4 of a page introduction. I haven't even got through that, but maybe I'll get through the introduction, and we'll talk about this more next week, maybe, Lord willing. And I already alluded to some of this. So, keep your accounts short. You don't know that there's going to be tomorrow. Trust God. You do know that He's in charge and that He loves you. That's what I often say. There's only two things you really need to know. That God is sovereign. And a lot of folks don't understand that or really believe that. All these Arminians, they'll call me and talk to me on the phone. Say, I'm a missionary so-and-so. I said, are you sovereign grace? Do you know what that means? Well, no. I says, we believe God's absolutely sovereign, that He's chosen His people from before the foundation of the world. Well, I don't believe that. They say they believe in a sovereign God because the Scriptures teach it. They know they're supposed to believe that, but they really don't believe that. I'm not saying they're not Christians. I don't know their heart, but I am saying this. They cannot have the peace that those to whom God has revealed Himself to have. If an Arminian can't really have that peace because he's got to worry about, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to try this, I got to... God's in control. Keep your accounts short. Trust God. And then number 3, rely on His Word. Rely on His Word. We were talking about Bibles this morning. I don't have time to teach my whole section. But it's important to have the Bible. You know, all these modern translations, the liberals don't really believe any Bible, and some of the cemeteries I went to, the professors there would say, well, in the Bible, quote, contains the Word of God. No, the Bible is the Word of God. And then you get to all these modern perversions, and in a sense, yes, they may contain the Word of God. But they've modified this, they've modified that, they've taken this out, they've taken that out. You go to Acts 8, you know, and just the Ethiopian eunuch. And I remember somebody was in service with us one time, and they were using some NASB or something. I said, turn to Acts 8, is it verse 28? I can't remember when it talks about Philip and the eunuch, and he says, you know, here's water, what prevents me to be baptized? And he went down and he baptized him. That ain't in there. Philip said, you may if you believe. Now, the modern versions take that part out. They have Philip baptizing the eunuch, but they don't have Philip saying, you may if you believe. That's pretty important. That's believer's baptism. They'll tell you the modern versions don't change any major doctrine. Yeah. No. And other such verses. But I don't have time to go into all of those. But it's important to understand these modern versions are not updates of the King James. That's a lie. There's nothing special about King James. He was kind of a reprobate. That's not the point. God used those people. God used those translators. He used men He had prepared. Those translate, we could not replicate the King James today. You know, we have, God preserved the Greek texts. God preserved the Hebrew texts. We have them today, the same ones they made the King James from, the same ones that we can trace back through history. Where are the kind of scholars that they had in 1611 that could do what those men do? They weren't perfect men, but God used them, God formed them, God brought them to that time. Where are those men today? Do we have men like that? I remember the one translator in some of the Hebrew, he was a Hebrew scholar at age 8. Where's that guy? No, we're going to have these idiots. And some of them were my professors in some of the cemeteries I went to. that did the New King James that haven't a clue. That even told me, face to face, argued with me, that the King James Bible was translated from the Greek Septuagint. Which absolutely it was not. It's a historical fact. Everybody knows that. This guy was a Hebrew scholar, a Hebrew professor. He worked on the Hebrew of the New King James. And we argued back and forth in class. Finally, I told him, I said, it's a fact. One day he stopped me in the hallway and apologized to me and told me he was wrong and that he was so busy translating the New King James that he was confused or it slipped his mind. Did he say that in front of the class? Did he tell his kids he was telling that I was supposed to listen to him because he was a professor? Did he do that? No. We don't have men like those. We just don't. They weren't perfect then. They were scholars. They understood the languages. So they were very, very careful. And the King James is translated. The only thing that comes close today is the New King James. And I know the people who did that. I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. The King James Bible, in my understanding, is the Word of God in the English language in a sense that can be said of no other Bible. God didn't say, oh, you believe Paul wrote the King James Bible, or God sent down the King James Bible to Paul on a cloud. No, I don't believe that. God was Paul was inspired. We'll be getting into that when we look at the end of Galatians. Paul was inspired by God. In fact, to write the Word of God, read it in Scripture, that was already settled in heaven. It was not left up to Paul. God prepared Paul. He formed and shaped his life, brought him to the point he was, that he would be prepared to write exactly those words God's intended to. And then the Holy Spirit, Peter tells us, they wrote as they were moved by the Spirit of God. And that word move that spirit that Peter used literally means to be picked up and carried. Rely on God's Word. You can believe this book. I don't understand every word of it, but I believe it. There's my reliance. There's my trust. Here's what the Lord said in Matthew 24:34, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I kind of believe that. God's preserved His Word. He's preserved the words. Later on, or earlier on actually, in Matthew 5 and verse 18, the Lord said this, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Not a jot or a tittle. Not the letters. Not even, some folks understand the jot and the tittle would be kind of the equivalent we'd talk today about dotting an I and crossing the T. And you know, but like maybe that could be an L and you have a cross on it, it's a T. And the Hebrew language has similar chiaras and such that distinguish letters. But the Lord's point was, it's going to all be preserved. And I invite you to study it. I've studied it myself. If God's Word's been preserved, this is where it is. All these modern translations are from texts, from manuscripts that they admit were lost for centuries. And somebody rediscovered them. Well, that doesn't sound like heaven and earth pass away, my word won't pass away, not jot or tittle. Doesn't sound like that to me. If there is a preserved text, it's the Textus Receptus and the Masoretic text, or else there is none. Okay? That kind of makes it simple. even for a simple guy. Rely on God's word. I'm not saying that folks, you know, can't have some understanding of God from these other translations. I'm not saying that God can't use them in certain circumstances. You know, after I've gotten away from church as a older teen and through my military years and early marriage and stuff, the Lord worked and brought me back. And He brought me back initially through a Southern Baptist church, which I don't even wouldn't consider a true church today. But God used that. It was there, and God used that. Some folks say, well, I've heard folks say this, well, and they don't even understand what salvation is. They say, I got saved, whatever that means. I got saved reading the NIV. Well, maybe God did save you. Not you got saved. Maybe God did save you reading the NIV. That doesn't justify that the NIV. That doesn't mean that it's now some magical word of God now. God determined to use that. God, the old example, but it's a true one, that we see so many times, that you know, Balaam's ass. God had this animal speak. The word of God to Balaam. Or in the New Testament, the Lord, you know, the high priest say, you know, it's right that one should die for the people. Well, they were talking about that they were going to kill Christ so that they didn't persecute the Jews. But they said what they knew not, that Christ died for His people. So those things are irrelevant, that God uses these things. There's still the truth. There's still the truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass. Rely on God's word. And again, we were at that festival yesterday, and people distributing Bibles. Now, you want a Bible? You want this? You want? And I start talking to them a little bit, and they weren't always happy with me. But it's like, yeah, you're just supposed to think everything's the Word of God. It is. That liberals do that to a greater extent. The liberals in cemetery, they would say, well, this is just the Word. It becomes. They even use it becomes the Word of God. You know, you could be reading a novel, and it could become the Word of God to you. What a bunch of junk. God's preserved His Word. I'm going to finish up on this one today. Went longer than I thought would on that. But as we talk about relying upon God's Word, and these are verses familiar to us all, but Paul writes to young Timothy, pastor at the church at Ephesus, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. All Scripture. I'm going to get into this, if I have time, later on next week or sometime. I deal with these people that just absolutely reject the whole concept of a national Israel and chosen people of God. And some of them go so far, even though Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, I've had some of them of recent days just reject Paul and the writings of Paul. And it's like, well, Paul modified or perverted Christianity. Then what do you have? Nothing. Paul said all Scripture, every bit of it, every bit of it is given by the inspiration of God. That word inspiration is theopneustos. And it literally means to be God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's breathed out by God. It's not the opinion of men. It's not the thoughts of some church. It's not the decision of some council. All Scripture is God breathed. and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That doesn't mean without sin in this world. Perfect means to be complete, to be finished. That the man of God may be complete, may be perfect, thoroughly, completely furnished unto all good works. Again, these folks say, well, you need the Word of God, but you also need, or you need the Bible, but you also need, like, the Book of Mormon. Or you need the writings of Mary Baker Eddy. Or you need the writings of Mary Ellen White. Or you need the modern-day Jews. It's like, you know, the Torah is okay, but now you need the Talmud, which was written by men, and it's just an abomination. No, it's Scripture that's given by the inspiration of God, and it's enough to thoroughly furnish the man of God. You don't need something. You need the book. You need to believe the book. You need to rely on the book. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of these things as we have opportunities, perhaps in days to come, to relate to people and to speak to them of these things. And I don't, again, try to beat people over the head and twist their arms. I can't change their minds. But you know what? God can. And the fact that they sometimes even seek me out to inquire about these things, or even to argue about them, is an indication, perhaps, that God is at work. And so I try to take it as such. Keep your accounts short. Trust God and rely on His Word. That's all we need to know. God is sovereign. I didn't finish that part either. God is sovereign, and He loves us. He loves His people. He loves His chosen people. If you're one of God's people, God chose you from before the foundation of the world. His love for His people is eternal. So, if God is sovereign and He loves me, I don't really need to know anything else. God's in charge of everything, and He loves me. And so Paul tells us in Romans, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. No matter what comes, we can take that because it's relying on God's Word. It's the Scriptures. All things work together. You say, I don't like all things. No, that's what the verse says. Oh, see, that you're going to like everything. No, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Trust God. Trust God and rely on His Word. Okay, we'll take our hymnals. We'll sing a closing hymn today. Number 9, The Rock That Is Higher Than I. Number 9, a good message there as well. It's not me, but it's that rock that's higher than I. Stand as we sing this out, if you wish. Number 9, The Rock That Is Higher Than I.
Oh, near to the rock, let me keep
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for each that's here, for those who joined with us via our broadcast or will later through our audio messages. Pray, Lord, for Tensei family. Dad, he's away. Keep him safe. Lord, watch over us as the storm approaches. Lord, help us to trust in thee as we ought. Lord, we know we can rely on your word. Father, help us to live in light of eternity, to realize the brevity of life, the uncertainty of life, but Lord, the everlasting certainty of your love. Lord, be with those who need healing. Thanks especially this week of Sister Floyd, who will be having surgery. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities to speak your truth to others. Help us, Lord, to seek to be your servants, your instruments. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints. Thank you, Lord, for your preserved word. Thank you, Lord, for your church. Thank you, Lord, most of all, for our Savior, for his atoning death for his people. And we pray in his name. Amen. Amen.